Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
This is the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but hey, while you're over there, check out going on. You never know what might pop up or what you could see or what else happened. So moving on over there, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, all right, Dan. Well, there's, you know, there's actually quite a bit of sports news today going on, but I had a feeling you wanted to talk about the importance of sabermetrics in the World Series.
Well, isn't that a rough time?
Oh, wait, you did what? Yeah, actually, the exact opposite is true there, because Boston is not a sabermetric team. They actually played, you know, obviously every team uses a little bit of it. But I heard a really good point today, Dan, so I'll be interested to see if you're kind of in agreement with this. Some of the guys I heard talking today believe that the Dodgers' use of sabermetrics and basically almost exclusively building their lineup around it actually hurt their hitters, because it didn't allow them to get really into any kind of rhythm or, you know, anything during the series. You know, like you and I talked about it before, really anybody else on why in the hell weren't you playing Cody Bellinger, you know, even against some of the lefties, because, you know, while they're tough pitchers, I mean, he's still a quality hitter. So, I don't know. Were you on board there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's only seven games. I guess I see my point with that, but forward, but at the same time, your best foot is to play the guys who've been playing.
Yeah, you know, like, to me, it was just so odd to see them literally just take the bat out of those guys' hands, because, you know, some sabermetric thing pointed to it. Oh, well, this is what you should do. Well, I'm going to do it then. No! No, play your freaking guy. No. But, yeah, that, you know, I think that was, you know, a gigantic turning point in the series, was just their reliance to not bend or ache, or, you know, however you want to look at it. I mean, even look the other way. I mean, this is the way they were doing it. I obviously, it worked out really well for you during the regular season, but you have to be adjustable, Dan, when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, it was clear it wasn't working early on.
Well, and that was the thing. I mean, it didn't help that David Price kind of came back to the guy that the Blue Jays wanted, but,
yeah.
You know, I'm starting to wonder, you know, and it was even my dad who pointed out, too, part of that, you know, the handling of the pitching staff was David. Andy Roberts' fault. You know, Rich Hill gave up one walk. Can you take him out?
Yeah, you know, that was such an odd situation, wasn't it? I mean, the way that all ended up playing out, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, he came out and, you know, Hill handed him the ball. And, you know, like even Robert said, he wasn't really planning on taking him out. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay, then, you know, why did you take him out? So.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the MO now? When you're the pitcher on the mound, whether you're, you know, Rich Hill, 38, 7, 38 years old, or you're Urias at, you know, 22, and you see the head coach come out, what do you think is happening? Might as well just give the ball up and leave.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how Hill explained it. He said, hey, when you see the, you know, the manager coming out like that, he just went under the assumption that he was out of the game. So I was just thinking to myself, maybe he should have sent the pitching coach out?
Or just made him realize he wasn't being pulled from the game?
Yeah, you know, yeah, maybe something to that effect. I mean, hey, say, you know, you're still in. I'm just out here to talk to you. You know, there had to be a better way to do it. And I don't really, you know, I'm not sure if I understand the thinking that he had to come out. You know, like, you know, Roberts attempted to explain it as the fact that once he gave up the ball, he felt that mentally he was out of the game. Can you really make that decision in a couple seconds?
No.
So.
Mentally, yeah, he was out of the game because he's under the assumption that the manager is walking out and it's time to leave over a walk, which is what Dave Roberts has done the entire series and throughout the entire postseason. If you walk a guy and you're past the fourth inning and your manager comes out, that means you're gone.
So, yeah, and, you know, I just, you know, again, it was, you know, and obviously it meant a lot more than to Dan because he had the Dodgers in our bet and I had the Red Sox. So I was rooting for, you know, basically everything that kind of went that way. So I was pretty happy about it. I understand Dan was upset. So. You know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how those fun things go sometimes. But now, did you agree, you know, the other thing I heard a little bit of issue on, do you agree with Steve Pierce as the MVP, or are you a David Price guy?
No, I would go with Pierce. I mean, the home run.
You know, should they have split it and given them each a half a truck? Oh, so.
No,
you
mean,
know, or come on.
MVP, yeah, well, generally the MVP is, you know, one of the batters because they're the ones who push it over the edge. You know, if the Dodgers somehow would have pulled it out, I think there was only one guy who would have been that, and that would have been Puig.
Yes, who should have been? Oh.
Well,
but yeah, no, I thought they made the right choice. So I wasn't too, too upset with it. I know, you know, it was seemed to be a little bit of a bigger deal today, and I was just kind of like, really? We're, you know, it's an MVP award. I mean, does it? You know, it's gonna be kind of interesting as you see, you know, you go down the line, and it's gonna be, wait, who won this? Steve Pierce won this? What the heck? So. I don't think too many people are going to remember him.
If you remember, all White Sox fans were upset when Jermaine Dye won it. You know, let's fast forward another 10 years, and everyone's going to be scratching their heads. You know, maybe 10, 15 years, everyone's going to be scratching their heads when you ask them who the 2015 and 16 MVPs of the World Series were.
Who was it?
Ben Zobrist.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember. So, you know, who won? Was it Bryant when the Cubs won? I don't even remember.
No, when the Cubs won, it was Ben Zobrist.
Oh, was it Zobrist? Oh, he won 2 years in a row? Wow. That's impressive.
Yep. With,
that'll look good, that'll look good on his, that'll look good on his Hall of Fame plaque, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I actually did not know that. I don't pay much attention to, you know, who wins the postseason award. So, you know, just one of those odd things, you know, because I can always bing it because, you know, we do that here.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that, not so much, I don't want to say upset me, but I guess it did. What killed me, well, I mean, if you want to talk about awards, who gets the worst for the choke artist of the series or the David Price Award, and that would go to Kenley Jansen. You know, they must have bumped into each other in a hallway or a hotel or a restaurant, and David Price transferred it all over to Kenley Jansen because he was completely unreliable in keeping his ball in the park for the series and, you know, keeping a game. But you know, the thing that killed me the most is this whole launch a goal, strike up, don't count, swing for the fences attitude. And if there's any realization that this is not the right attitude to go in with, it was the series alone. And not only the series, but Manny Machado. He had several attempts to do something, make something out of his at-bat, and he completely floundered because he was worried about his launch angle. And if you don't believe me, go back and watch every one of his at-bats and watch all the, you know, one man on, two outs, or two men on, scoring position, you know, with men in scoring position, and what does he do? But pop up the ball. You know, and that's where I brought up Puig, because Puig was doing it too. But Puig also took the adjustment and was able to, you know, get key hits that drove in runs. You know, they weren't home runs. They weren't 500-foot home runs. They were a line hard-hit ball over second base, over shortstop, that drove in runs. And that's how you win games, by driving in runs, not by hitting home runs. Unless you're the Red Sox.
Yep.
That's actually what it was for them.
It's a little odd that teams haven't realized the importance of, like, getting runners on base. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, solo home runs are great. You know, I mean, anytime you hit a home run, it's great. You know, that's cool. But, you know, the more people on, the cooler the home run is. So, you know, I mean, and, you know, you got to wonder if teams are going to realize this or if, you know, baseball people are going to realize that, you know, nothing wrong with taking a pitch here and there. Nothing wrong with singling the other way when, you know, you got a couple strikes on you. You know, they all still count as hits. So, but, you know, for whatever reason, guys don't do it now in today's game. And obviously, you know, while homers are up, strikeouts are up much more than homers are. So,
you know, and that's one of the big reasons, too, aside from the pitching, that I also think the Dave Roberts experiment in L.A. needs to come to an end. Because, you know, if I noticed that by game three, the Manny Machado launch angle pop out and nothing was done to rectify this, you know, that comes down to the manager. Granted, you can't you can't make your guys get base hits, but at the same time, when it's the common theme amongst almost the entire team, then why is nothing changing? How does he not notice this? He's watching the entire game. The amount of pop-up outs in this for the Dodgers was ridiculous. I felt like I was watching little bit of baseball.
You know, in today's game, I mean, even if Robert was to suggest something, would a player listen?
Well, maybe you're right. I mean, then again, in this era, you can't. You have to make it a suggestion. You can't.
Right. You know, because I mean, we don't know. Maybe he did say something.
Well, and then if he did say something, it's not working, and that's not the guy you need leading your team.
So, you know, and I mean, it's, you know, it can be, you know, difficult. And I know, you know, like I heard, you know, all the reports today that the Dodgers situation is very much akin to what you've brought up a couple times during the year. And I don't know if we really realize this with them. It's very much the general manager running the team through the manager, and the GM is a gigantic sabermetrics guy, and this is what he wants the players doing.
Yeah, and look what it got him. I mean, you know, 6 years of division titles is great, but
yep.
To me, it's, in the end, it means nothing when you don't have a World Series.
And I did want to give a quick shout out to the Texas Rangers. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the I guess you'd call it a troll tweet they sent the Dodgers?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they sent them something to the effect that said the meetings for teams that lost back-to-back World Series happen on Tuesday. We'll see you there, you know, Texas. So I thought that was pretty humorous on their part that they were able to kind of, you know, kind of make fun of themselves in that situation. But yeah, you know, it should be interesting. Dan, so you know, the parade is Wednesday. I believe they said it's going to start about 11 p.m. I'm sure that's Eastern time. So about 10 o'clock our time, so you'll be able to watch it. And, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. But, you know, obviously, Dan, you know, we go right from 1 year to another year, and you've got to wonder, you know, the Red Sox don't have any real major key free agents. You know, Steve Pearce will be a free agent. He probably made himself some money in the postseason. I know Nathan Eovaldi is a free agent, so, but you know, we're not talking about any of the main guys. You got the Red Sox as repeating already. They are co-favorites right now with the Astros at 6-1. Are you taking that bet?
I think it's possible, but I mean, Can their pitching staff redo it again, though?
You know, and are you surprised that they're actually a co-favorite and they have to share it with the Astros?
Yes and no. I mean, that one's rough. No, because, you know, the Astros are still a great team, but at the same time, you know, no team really has gone back to back and won it.
Yeah, and now if you would have made the bet last year, the Red Sox were 10-1 coming into the 2018 season, so that would have been your ticket cash. You know, couple other bets you might want to make, Dan. It's the Yankees and the Dodgers, both sitting at 7-1, and then we go to 10-1 where we find the Cubs and the Indians. And then they jumped to the Phillies at 18-1. I don't know why the article did that. There are some teams in between. Atlanta and Milwaukee open at 12-1, and St. Louis and Washington are 16-1. If you're interested in throwing your money away, Dan, you can get the Orioles for 300-1 right now. But yeah, here's the caveat, Dan, and I knew we had to get to this eventually, because Schomburg Stu already has Bryce Harper sign in with the Cubs on Friday, when I believe that's the first day eligible. One of the things it says here, it says the New York Yankees and Los Angeles Dodgers, and then of course there's the caveat here, two potential landing spots for prized free agent Bryce Harper are each 7-1. Dan, we're going to be dealing with a lot of this, aren't we, Dan? Because Harper's not going to sign, and it's going to be nothing but Harper going here, there, and everywhere, right?
But you're saying you can make wagers on this?
Yes. Well, no, not on Bryce Harper. That's for the World Series odd. I actually think there are odds on where Bryce Harper would sign, because I caught an article. I think I tweeted it out on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page that the Giants have the fourth best odds to sign him. So let me see if I can bing it here for you. Odds to sign Bryce Harper and see what we come up with. So yeah, hey, there actually is stuff here. So interesting. Let's see who we have here. The Phillies right now, Dan, are the top target. I'll give you all the names they have on the list. They have the Phillies at one, the Cubs are two, the Nationals are three, the Giants come in fourth, then it's Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, and Angels round out the board they have here right now. Where are you putting your money, Dan?
Oh, what's the Angels odds again?
The Angels are what they call plus 1,500. They're actually tied with the Red Sox. So the Red Sox and the Angels are the longest shots to sign them. Then it's, you know, in reverse order. It would be Dodgers, Yankees, Giants, Nationals, Cubs. The Phillies are actually even money to sign him right now.
You know, I mean, if I were a gambling man, I would throw a little bit on the Angels. I think that would be an interesting.
Yes, yeah, you know, I think if I was wagering, I'm going Giants. You know, because I think the Phillies would actually be smarter to save their money and sign Manny Machado. I think he's more of the fit they need at shortstop than in the outfield. I think they kind of have a plethora of outfielders.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, it's I mean, you buy in the Cubs as his number two destination. You know, I know Uncle Bob is, and I can tell you Schomburg Stu is. You know, he's probably already looking online for his Bryce Harper Cub jersey. So are you buying them as being that much of a contender?
Not really, but, you know, why not? You know, the only one they're really paying is Jason Hayward and that pitcher.
Well, John
Lester. His name. John Lester.
Well, John Lester. You know, Darvish are getting, you know, decent money.
Yeah.
Even though Darvish
is going
to have to pay him.
Yeah, well, you know, because if you're able to take on Harper, then you can, you know, they have a plethora of guys that they can trade away and, you know, hopefully get something in return. But, you know, the thing I don't like about that is they really haven't proven that they can trade guys to get guys. Except for J.K.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely an interesting scenario here. Now, looking at what I have going on here, Dan, you know, obviously the Giants will get Buster Posey back from injury. You know, I don't know, are you at the point now, Dan, with Posey? And obviously I think we're more invested in him than a lot of guys. Is it time for him to start playing more first base and do less catching?
Not unless you got a guy who can take that job over.
Well, they do have a prospect, and you know, I know his last name is Garcia. Let me see if I can get his first name here real quick. I saw it pop up. Come on, guys. Aramis, of all things, Dan. Here you go. We got another Aramis. Aramis Garcia is, you know, a prospect in their organization. He did play 63 games with the Giants last year. He hit .286 with four home runs. So, you know, and I mean, obviously you would be looking at him as a, you know, they could split time. They would basically be, you know, Garcia would catch while Posey was at first base. But, I mean, you know, even if you split them 81-81, is that better for Posey at this point?
Possibly, but what do you do with Brandon Belt?
Well, Belt has played the outfield before, so he could conceivably go to left field, and then, you know, if you had Harper in right, you could decide between your other prospects, which would be Austin Slater and Steven, I believe it's Duggar is how they're pronouncing it. You know, and then, I mean, if you manage to get a healthy Johnny Cueto and a healthy Jeff Samardzija, do you jump back into contention if you can land Harper with making those moves?
I think so. You know, that's where better one then.
You're saying that's where he should go then? I'm waiting. He should sign with the Giants.
Oh, yeah. They need another one before this decade's over.
So, all right, well, let's see. Now, you know, the Angels would be interesting as well because, obviously, I think they would probably have to move an outfielder. You know, obviously, Cole Calhoun would be the guy who would get moved. You know, but that would give them, you know, Justin Upton, Mike Trout, and Bryce Harper in the outfield. That would probably be the best outfield in baseball, right? I mean, even, you know, right? I mean, can you come up? I mean, I know the Red Sox have a good outfield, but I think this one would be better. You got a better outfield?
No, and why do you think when you said the Angels, I kind of threw my money in on that one. I know they got some cash that they're spending on Upton. They've got, what, 2 years left on Trout?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Otani's got, what, a five-year deal, and he's only going to be going into year two, and he's still kind of at low money.
Yeah.
You know, they've
don't forget
got
the
pitching.
They still have a Pujols contract.
Still have who's?
They still have the Pujols contract.
Oh, that's right. You're 2021.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a stretch, but can you imagine having that outfield?
Well, you know, and then, you know, say Trout does leave, Harper's kind of a quality natural replacement there, right, as the fill-in kind of top guy if Trout decides. You know, say Trout decides he wants to go home and play in Philly. You know, at least you got Harper there who could kind of soften the blow of Trout leaving, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know, the big question with the Angels is will the damn pitchers ever stay healthy?
Yeah.
So, you know, you always got to kind of wonder that. But I guess if you add some offense, you know, maybe that softens the blow a little bit. You know, I mean, because if you look at it, you know, that's kind of how the Red Sox did it. I mean, you had Sale, you had Price. You know, I know Porcello is a solid starter. You know, and then you just got to kind of out-hit everybody for 2 days. You know, the addition of Harper could easily help the Angels do that, right?
Oh, yeah, and if you kind of, I don't want to say backloaded, but oh, I forgot, no, with Trout still on the team, and you know, if you really put a majority of his contract money into the, you know, the next 2 years, they could probably create enough of a balance going on from 21, you know, after Pujols.
Yeah.
So where they can,
yeah, once that Pujols kind of comes up, obviously that's gonna free up a lot. So, but yeah, I think they're an interesting case as a team there. And then, you know, obviously we Philadelphia, like I said, is the odds-on favorite, but. You know, I mean, they have, you know, Rhys Hoskins, you know, Odubel Herrera, and then, you know, Nick Williams has been getting some run in right field. But, you know, they have Dylan Cozen, who's a, you know, from all reports is a pretty good prospect. You know, you look at shortstop, and it's Scott Kingery and J.P. Crawford. Crawford was kind of a bust this year because he couldn't stay healthy, and Kingery is more suited to be a second baseman. So I really think looking at this team that it's Machado that is really the plug-in here. You know, don't you kind of buy him as more of the fit, or are you on board with them spending their money with Harper and just kind of running with what they got in the infield?
You know, it would be a great signing for that team, but, you know, I think going with Machado would be, you know, still the better suit for them.
Yeah, that, you know, that's, and I get it. You know, obviously, you know, you want to make a big splash, you know, and again, like I said, we're probably going to be talking about this forever because I assume Harper isn't going to sign until probably, what do you figure, Dan, a few days before spring training?
You never know. You don't ever know his MO. You know, he might be like one of the old timers and wants to know before Christmas.
Yeah, that would, it would be nice if they actually did that this year so we didn't have to sit here and kind of, you know, stumble around going, oh, okay, who's going where and what, who's doing this and, you know, what's this crap and all the other fun stuff that goes with it. So we'll see.
Yeah,
hopefully,
I mean,
they play.
Unless you're really the Giants, the Cubs, and, you know, a couple other teams, you know, the other 28 teams, you have to say that you're interested in him. And then you silently, you know, start lining up the deals you want without him.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously it's a 1 in 32 shot that you're going to get him. But, you know, the GMs, they're not dumb guys. So they're going to have a feel and they're going to know who he's going to be leaning towards. And so I think they'll be able to make their moves. You know, like if you're Billy Beane, who just got extended for your contract, you know, while you say you'll be interested in Bryce Harper, you know you're not going to get him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, don't you have to say that? I mean, if you're somebody asks you about it, you have to say, oh, well, yeah, well, of course we're interested. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to sign him, but, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the big thing, you know, we'll find out here, Dan, by, what is it, I think he has 3 days to decide. If Clayton Kershaw decides to opt out, I actually think he's a bigger signing than either Harper or Machado. You know, call me stupid, call me whatever you want to, you know, you want. And while he had his struggles in the postseason, he didn't pitch terribly. I mean, I know everybody wants to hang it on him, but his team scored one run. He would have had to pitch a shutout for them to win last night. So, you know, let's take it easy before we start throwing him out of the Hawks game. You know, Dan, pitching wins, and he's a winner in the regular season. And to have a chance to win the World Series, as far as I know, Dan, I don't know if sabermetrics have changed this, but I believe you either have to win your division or get a wild card spot. Kershaw helps the team do that more than Harper or Machado. Like I said, call me stupid if you want, but, man, if I'm a team and he opts out, he's my number one priority no matter who I am and what I have in my rotation.
No, I agree with you completely.
You know, I mean, even if I'm the Astros, he could replace your guy Dallas Keuchel. Maybe they would switch spots.
Well, then the Astros would interrupt there to go up.
You would think. Well, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously, you know, like he's in Texas. He's mentioned a few times that he wanted to possibly play there at some point in his career. Doesn't mean it'll be next year, but. You know, obviously that includes the Astros, but he's always been more of a, you know, I guess he was a Rangers fan growing up. So, you know that could possibly be there. I mean, well, you know, who knows what goes on with the Rangers. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like I'm looking at some of these other headlines, and it's like Yankees reportedly lukewarm on Machado. Yankees don't think Harper is a fit. Do we really? I mean, A, why in the hell would the Yankees want Machado when their infield is pretty set with the young guys they have and, you know, once Didi gets healthy? And where the hell would they play Harper? Is he going to play in between Judge and Stanton in the outfield? You know, or are they moving Judge or Stanton? You trading Aaron Judge to bring in Bryce Harper? I don't think so. You know, and I get that they're the Yankees, so you talk about them, and I'm sure we're going to hear the Red Sox noise too, just because that's the kind of BS we deal with when it comes to baseball, and, you know, it doesn't count unless it happens on, the, you know, in New York or Boston. But there's a whole bunch of other teams out there, you know. And I really don't see either of these two guys being a fit for either team, do you? I mean, are the Red Sox going to bump the guy Xander Bogaerts with the way he's played for them for Machado?
No, not in a heartbeat.
You know, you deal in Mookie Betts after he wins the MVP so Bryce Harper can be your everyday right fielder?
No. No.
You know? Or you're going to see if the Cubs are still interested in Jackie Bradley Jr. so you can move Betts over to center and let Harper play every day in center field? Or right field, excuse me?
No, that one's a good possibility.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's because apparently so, but yeah, it's just, you know, it becomes laughable to me when, you know, like we just went through and the Phillies are odds on favorite, but yet the articles here on the MLB.com website is all about if they're going to New York. So, you know, it's just kind of like, really, this is what you came up with. So, I guess, you know, that's just kind of how things go. And I mean, to be honest, I mean, if Kershaw was the guy who opts out, the Yankees and Red Sox need him just as much as anybody else. You know, they should be throwing their money at him instead of, you know, all the putzing around and posturing about, oh, where's Harper going to sign and where's Machado going to sign? I mean, you know. And I know, you know, imagine the Red Sox having three lefties in a row, Dan, if they went Kershaw, Sale, and David Price. That would be pretty impressive, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So.
You know, and this can be said about Kershaw, too, but so you get Machado into your offense, and then you get to the postseason, and all he does is pop up.
Right. You know.
You know, but the other part of that to me is I still feel like, it was a great move for the Dodgers to sign or to trade for Machado, get him in their rotation or your lineup, seeing as their, you know, superstars shortstop have gone for the season. But, you know, to me, and, you know, like you said, Dave Roberts could have said something to Machado, but how is Machado going to listen? I personally felt like with every at-bat when he had guys in scoring position and he popped it up, you know, I personally feel that in his mind, all that was going through his mind was, this is going to be what makes my contract.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe that it was about the World Series, about the Dodgers win. That's all we're all for him to go up there and prove himself to get, you know, a max deal. Did it hurt him? You know, and maybe yours and mine value it may have, but I still think he's going to get ridiculously paid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because that's what, you know, Sean Stu actually emailed me asking, or actually more or less telling me how much he thinks Machado's value has decreased, and, you know, that's completely wrong. You know, he's still going to get $30 million a year from a team. He may get more.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to diminish it at all. You even look at it, you know, Bryce Harper's coming off one of, if not the worst years of his season. Granted, his second half was better, but, you know, even still, people are still going to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to change anything. I mean, Machado is 26 years old. You know, what is Harper younger? Yeah, Harper's 26 as well. You know, you're looking at guys you can legitimately sign for 10 years, and they could be productive the entire 10 years of their contract. And you can't say that often about guys.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's nuts. You know, I mean, because you figure, you know, like Kershaw opts out, he's 31. So how deep are you going with him on a contract? Are you going 7 years?
No.
With a taking him till he's 38? You think he's going to want 7? And by the way, he's opting out of $65 million in the final 2 years of his contract. So he'll be walking away from $32.5 million. You're probably going to have to beat that in a contract. Are you going 5 years and $180 million? You're taking him to 36 for that kind of money?
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Yankees, yes, you are. But I don't know any other – I don't really know what other teams would be doing, willing to do that.
Right. You know, like, you know, your guy Dallas Keuchel's 31. Granted, he's not going to command the same type of money, but, you know, I can see a team going 5 years with him. You know, you got Patrick Corbin is coming off a great year. He picked the best time to have the best year of his career. He's 29. So's Nathan Eovaldi. You know, obviously Eovaldi's going to get paid off his postseason. You know, you're talking about a guy who's never really produced in the regular season. So, you know, he could be iffy. You know, Matt Harvey is hanging around out there if you're buying that hype. But, yeah, I mean, not a gigantic starting pitching market. So, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, Charlie Morton is out there, but he's 35. So, you know. You know, I didn't realize this, Dan. David Price can actually opt out. He's got 4 years left at $127 million. I don't think he's doing it.
No.
That could actually buy Chris Sale out of his contract, but I think that would be pretty stupid. So I think he's going to kind of stay there. I did see the White Sox decline James Shields' option. Maybe he'll get a big deal from somebody.
You know, if you and Chatwood aren't ready, he might be a Cub.
Yeah, you know, I could see a team bringing him in for 1 year. I mean, he's 37, so he's getting up there. But, I mean, you know, if you're hurting for a back-of-the-rotation guy, he's going to be a cheap veteran ad for somebody. You know, just like I won't be surprised, you know, after the way Edwin Jackson pitched, I won't be surprised if a team brings him in for, you know, a year with an option or something and tries him at the back of the rotation. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if the A's bring him back and try that. You know, just because he had so much success there, you know, amazingly for them. I mean, I don't think either you, I, or anybody expected him to pitch like that, did we?
No, not one bit. But, you know, can you imagine if they played Sean Manaea?
Yeah, if he, you know, and that would have made a big difference if, you know, he was healthy. You know, you do wonder if that could have changed things, and hopefully it comes back and healthy. I'm interested to see. You know, their big news was they, you know, they extended everybody today. You know, Bob Melvin got an extension, Billy Bean got the extension, and so did David, I believe it's pronounced Forst. He's technically the GM, Bean is the next guy up there. Kind of like the Cubs, where Theo's president and Jed is technically the GM. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they're always an interesting team, and I'm wondering if they can compete next year.
It all depends on your team.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, who they can bring back and who's healthy and, you know, if, you know, you know, who knows, maybe their young pitching stays healthy and it starts to develop. I mean, that could be, you know, a bigger deal for them as, you know, time goes on because, you know, that was kind of their plan this year. And with the exception of Manaea, I think they all got hurt. But, of course, that's the trend now. And, you know, baseball is, you know, the starting pitchers get hurt. So we'll have to see. But, all right, Dan, I want to take you off track. I want to take you to your favorite city in America. What's your favorite city, Dan? I forgot.
Well, the last one I went to was Boston. They're ranked pretty high.
Oh. No. Your real favorite city, Dan, that would be Cleveland, where everyone's fired. The Cavaliers fired Tyronn Lue after he goes 0-6. And then today the Cleveland Browns announced that not only are they finally firing head coach Hugh Jackson, they're also kicking offensive coordinator Todd Haley out the door. Dan, what the hell is going on in Cleveland? And should Terry Francona just stay in the house?
Well, luckily none of these guys are set to sing the national anthem or throw out the first pitch.
So, interestingly, the Cavaliers are actually going to pay Tyronn Lue like $15 million to get rid of him. I guess the question when it comes to this one, Dan, like I can understand the Browns one. I mean, you know, they won one game in 2 years, but you know they're not anywhere close to anything. But we got, like with the Cavaliers, are they just? I know there was talk he didn't want to play the young guys. He didn't think they were really ready. Not like the Tom Thibodeau situation where he just refused to play them. He just didn't think they were ready. Do you think this is just them trying to separate themselves from LeBron a little more?
I mean, you have to. You know, when he signed to L.A., I'm assuming that everyone was ready for it. Because I didn't see a bunch of jerseys burning this year. They must have signed everyone's jersey before he left town, right?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, I mean, obviously, it didn't help Lou that they've started off 0-6. In the Eastern Conference, there was a chance they could have hung on to an eighth seed or something. They're just out of the tank bad. I mean, otherwise we'd probably be talking about the Wizards, who I've always liked, and they're 1-5.
I just don't understand an 0-6 start, and you're going to fire the coach, which, let's be honest, why do they – well, I guess you didn't have a choice. So I guess this is more or less the excuse of why he was fired, and we're going to pay a guy $15 million to stay at home, who could quite possibly be Mark Jackson Part 2,
yeah.
Meaning where he doesn't get another job after taking the team to the finals and then getting fired. So I could see that. But, I mean, at the same token, it just didn't make no sense to me, because how are you going to expect a coach like he to succeed on a team that had LeBron James on it? And it's not so bad that it had LeBron James on it, but LeBron would overstep his boundaries with him.
Yeah.
So if I'm on this team, why the hell would I listen to anything Tyronn Lue's got to say?
Yeah, when you look at the team they brought him, Kevin Love's already hurt. He's played 4 games. Now he has a foot issue. It looks like he – you know, I thought I saw today where somebody said he could miss up to a month. Their first-round draft pick was a point guard by the name of Colin Sexton. Dan, in the NBA, where the three-point shot is king, he has yet to make one.
Ooh, rough.
Through 6 games, he has yet to make a three-pointer. That's interesting for a number one draft pick. And he was part of the reason, you know, they wanted to see him play more. And, you know, Lou was like, yeah, you know, he's not ready. He's playing 23 and a half minutes a game. But, you know, as a point guard, like I said, he hasn't made a three-pointer, and he's only handed out 2.2 assists per game. So, obviously, he's a shoot-first point guard who can't hit three-pointers. That's fantastic, right?
Oh, yeah, sounds like Cameron Payne.
Yeah, so... You know, so yeah, I mean, you kind of look at this roster, and I mean, you know, obviously, you know, LeBron didn't do them any favors. You know, he tied them into some guys on long-term deals, like your guy J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, who, you know, they didn't need. You know, they went out and made the trade to try to pacify him last year. That really hasn't worked out for them. So, yeah, I mean, what did they expect this guy to do, Dan? I mean, he's a basketball coach, not a miracle worker.
Cleveland, they expect miracles.
You know, I mean, is it just kind of the summary of, well, you know, you can't fire the players?
Pretty much, but, you know, whatever deal they signed to get Tyronn Lue or whatever contract he had, post LeBron James, didn't make any sense to have him on that long.
Well, you know, they signed him because James told them to. Remember, he insisted, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, that they give him a long-term deal.
And, you know, and Pat Riley listened to him, too, and look at what happened. So why the hell
right.
did you listen to him?
Yeah, I well, you know, I mean, like everybody else, they had hopes of him staying. You know, they were hoping, oh, yeah, he's gonna stick around if we do this for him. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, how these guys think.
And I get it. And you can't, you know, LeBron or not, you can't put a guarantee on a word, you know, on your word today, and especially in the game, because, you know, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, like, oh, everything's got to all be about the handshake and your word. Because at the end of the day, NBA, MLB, NFL, NHL, it's all come down to money and the agents and the contract.
Right.
And winning, because a guy like LeBron wants to, you know, solidify his legacy, so to speak. So, you know, I just think Cleveland, as the organization, was just completely naive. I don't want to be completely insulting and call him stupid, but you know, I'd be like, all right, LeBron, I get where you're coming from. We're gonna re-sign him, but we're only gonna re-sign him as long as your contract is.
Right.
See,
that's what
I would
have done.
Didn't he opt out?
Yeah. So.
You know, we'll re-sign him as you stay with us, but, you know, post that, we're not continuing on. Because, I mean, LeBron did what he could to get whoever the first coach was fired to bring in Tyronn Lue.
Yeah.
But then when stuff went south, you know, he even went on TV and was like, no, the coach wanted this. And I was like, no. You know, and not only did he say that on TV, we saw it. We saw Lue call a play, and LeBron just totally shut it down and then go do something else, which, had they not done that, they wouldn't have won a very major game. I can't remember what it was. It was in one of the – I don't know if it was in the finals that year that they won or if it was in, you know, conference. But, you know, the fact that they kind of ran with it and to sign J.R. Smith to a four-year contract, I mean, if Cleveland at all feels they got duped, well – then you shouldn't be running a team. Shouldn't be running an organization at all. And that's what I like about LeBron going to the Lakers is he can get back to just balling. He can get back to going on the court. You got Magic Johnson. And I forget who that the woman is that runs the team. I feel like going there, they're not going to take any of that crap.
Oh,
you know,
no,
and
Magic's
I think
not going to
You know,
LeBron tried – Magic's not going to that.
You know, I mean, you played Pat Riley, and if I'm Magic Johnson, I saw you played Pat Riley. You know, you're on this team to win and help us develop the future of the Lakers. You're not making my contractual decisions for this team.
So, well, here you go, Dan. They're playing Atlanta tomorrow. They're in Cleveland. Atlanta is just 2-3. Do they get their first win?
No.
No, you don't, not even with the new coach. I believe Larry Drew has taken over. Humorously, I saw something today where he refused to call himself the coach. I think he called himself like the caretaker or something because he said unless you've got a long-term deal, you're not really the coach because these guys aren't going to listen to you. After Atlanta, they play Thursday night at home again against Denver. I think, are the Nuggets still unbeaten? Let me see. I got the standings right here. Come on. There we go. Actually, the Nuggets are 4-1. They're not beating Denver even at home, are they?
No.
So and then they have back-to-back games on the road after that. They go to Charlotte first. The Hornets are, what did I see? I saw 3-4. Yeah, they're 3-4, and then they play the Magic, who are 2-4. Those are the next four games. Do you see them getting a win in one of those games, or do they have to wait till November 10th till they come to Chicago and beat the Bulls?
I think they get a win. You know, with the Bulls, it'll be a slobber knocker. Yeah, I think they get a win before they get Chicago.
Okay.
So, but not before they beat the Bulls? Or do they beat the Bulls?
You never know with this Bulls team. The one thing that killed me, and there wasn't actually a sports team talking about it, or, you know, sports broadcasters. It was regular radio. And they were like, oh, if we could see more Bulls wins like this, and I'm like, guys, they won by a point. You know, just say you'd like to see more Bulls wins. Okay, I got you. I get that one. Bulls win by 25. Yeah, I want to see more wins like that. But when a team, Bulls or any other of the other NBA teams, wins by a point, we just want to see them win, you know?
Yeah, here's exactly what Larry Drew said. Let's see. He said that he's not the team's interim coach, but merely the voice right now. And he's not talking about the singing show. So, yeah, that situation is done. They're not making the playoffs. They're not doing anything, are they? Do they win 20 games at this point, Dan,
no,
with that situation? They're the new Brown. good Lord. So, and now, are you a little surprised at the, you know, speaking of the Browns, while we got a few minutes here, are you surprised they finally made a change?
They won one game and they think, you know, what was the point? Might as well just wrote it out.
Yeah, well, they won two this year, actually. They've won two games, and they were in a lot more of those. They actually have a really good record, but they're the Browns. They always seem to brown things up.
I mean, isn't their best running back on the Jets now?
Well, you know, one went to the Jets. They just traded the other one to Jacksonville. So it depends where you look at it. I mean, they did draft a rookie that they wanted to be the number one guy, so now he can be that guy. He did fairly well yesterday. So,
yeah. Before we run out of time, I just want to say what a genius I was to draft James Conner behind Le'Veon Bell. And after the 42 points yesterday, I don't know how you feel about it, but why the hell would Pittsburgh want Bell to come back? Grand 42
points. Oh, you know, at this point they don't. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, he's coming back so he can be a free agent. And I do actually wonder how much playing time he's going to see once he gets back, because obviously he's not going to be in game shape. And, you know, I mean, you wonder how much he's going to want to do because he's going into free agency. So, you know, it's an interesting situation with them, but yeah, Connor, doing a really nice job for them, you know, and hopefully it keeps up.
He's doing an amazing job.
You know how those things go, especially considering the situation he was kind of thrust into. So. Well, all right. It's a good time to get on the phone call. So we'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk to you about what I call this in the phone. When we're done, we'll get over to the sportsmedia.com. Tell me what's going on over there. Hit that link and get yourself over to the Facebook page. Give us a link while you're over there. You can see it. You can find me on Twitter as well, so jump on the top. But as always, big thanks for listening live. So remember, all you got to do is go over to Twitter.com, listen to the podcast, and turn your own.
SportsTimeRadio.com.